Otherwise, we're going to be in John 21 today. If you want to turn in your Bibles to John 21, we're going to pick up in verse 15. And while you're looking for John 21, let me pray for us again. Father, thank you that you've gathered us together here on this snowy day. Lord, we just thank you that we're in this place to worship you and to meet with you, our God. And so Lord, may your presence be thick and strong in here for us today. And just speak to us. And as always, we invite the power of the Holy Spirit to be present, because we know that as the Holy Spirit is present, there can be no spirit of distraction in the room. And as the Holy Spirit is with us, there can be no spirit of doubt or confusion in the room. Only the Holy Spirit gets to speak and move and have his way in this place. And Holy Spirit, we do long for you to do just that. Amen. Amen. Well, the last several weeks, we were in a short series on the kingdom of God. Amy kind of wrapped it up last week with her message from the Beatitudes. I was actually at a Black Baptist church in Palatine last week teaching on the kingdom of God. But today I want to focus on this verse in John that focuses on calling and the sin of comparison. And I really want to focus in on the two questions that are toward the end of the passage. We've got to work our way there to get to that. Jesus asked Peter a question, and then Peter asked Jesus the question, and I want to focus in on those as we get there. So let's start reading in verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" Well, this passage starts with Jesus asking Simon, "Do you love me more than these?" What's interesting is that Jesus goes back to calling Peter by his birth name, Simon, and not the name Peter or Rock that Jesus had given him. This is probably a sign of intimacy, but perhaps Jesus was reminding Simon of his roots and where he came from. But again, I want to focus on those two questions at the end of the passage. We'll work our way there, right? In the NIV, it's translated as, "Do you love me?" Many other translations have, "Do you love me more than these?" Which is a little bit better way to understand what is happening in the Greek. In the Greek, there is a word there like "these," but there's some ambiguity with it. And the ambiguity is probably intentional on Jesus' part. Jesus is probably referring to the other disciples. "Do you love me more than these other disciples?" Which for us could then symbolize relationships. Do we love Jesus more than other relationships? Or maybe Jesus was saying, "Do you love me more than they do?" Peter was, after all, the one who had said that he would never betray Jesus. But the ambiguity allows it to be where Jesus may be referring to other things. Some commentators suggest that Jesus was referring to the fish. "Do you love me more than these fish here that you've caught?" And that would have been meant to symbolize Peter's livelihood as a fisherman. For us, this could be work. Do we love Jesus more than our work? All of these questions are possible. And again, Jesus may have been very intentional with the ambiguity he used in that term. But you see, Jesus gets to ask this question because he has already proven his love by dying on the cross. Jesus has established his love for Peter and for us by dying on the cross. And so now he gets to ask Peter, "Hey, do you really love me?" At one point in Matthew 26, Peter declares that he will never disown Jesus, right? And then, of course, we know that just a short time later, Peter disowns Jesus three times. Given this failure of Peter, if you will, Jesus is beginning the process of restoring Peter here. And this whole scene is with Peter is really about grace and love and restoration. But those two questions that they ask are so important, and we'll look at that in just a minute. In this question, Jesus asks, do you love me more than these? Jesus is getting at three things, I believe. And the three things that will interfere with our relationship and our love with Jesus, all right? And they're this. People in relationships, he's saying, do you love me more than these other disciples, these other friends of yours? So do you love me more than your other relationships? Or he might have been referring to the fish. Hey, do you love me more than work, money, occupation? Or we know that Peter gave in to the persecution, so he might be saying, hey, Jesus, or Peter, do you love me in spite of the difficulties and the persecution that you're going to face? And if Jesus were here today, I am confident that he would say, do you love me more than entertainment? He would. He'd ask that. We are an entertainment-addicted culture. He would say, do you love me more than the entertainment? So let's look at these three first, and then we'll continue on. First, people in relationships. Jesus is asking, do you love me more than these other disciples? Now, we know from other places in Scripture, Jesus says that we must love him more than anyone else. So we must all ask ourselves, in light of the cross and what Jesus has done for us, do we love Jesus more than our other relationships? And I think that's a fair question for Jesus to ask, right? Are there human relationships that interfere and take away from our love and relationship with Jesus? And that can be a hard thing, right? Our spouse, our children. Can we honestly say that we put Jesus before them? Jesus is inviting us into this deep love relationship with him first, and then a fruit of that will be that our other relationships get better. It's not that Jesus wants us to ignore those other relationships, but as we press into Jesus first, those other relationships with our spouse and our children will get better. Amen? Then the second thing that Jesus might be getting at here is work or occupation, money. Jesus may have been referring to those fish. After all, earlier in the chapter, Peter has already gone back to fishing. We all know that work has a way of interfering with our relationship with Jesus, don't we? Here in the U.S., this is probably more of an issue than the relationships. We put work and pursuit of money and a better standard of living in front of Jesus very easily. We put work and job first and our spiritual life to chance. We blow off church to go to work and think that will get us ahead. I see it all the time, and I've never once seen it work, ever, ever. We even suggest that God is blessing us when we get more and better, not realizing that the more and better are actually keeping us from Jesus. People go, oh, I got this great new job. Oh, man, I got this incredible job. I'm going to be making so much money, and the benefits are incredible. Oh, this job is great. Oh, but I can't come to church anymore. I have to work Sundays. Are you sure God gave you that job? Let me read a quote to you from Brené Brown's book, Daring Greatly. He says this, we live in a culture driven by fear of scarcity, yet it is in the most prosperous and abundant country in the world, end quote. The fear of scarcity drives us to work more and more and accumulate more and more, but that's actually a poverty mindset. And ironically, all that prosperity doesn't draw us closer to Jesus, it actually separates us from Jesus. When we're constantly striving for more and trying to get more and trying to make more money, that's a poverty mindset. I want to go back to the beginning of John 21 real quick and read the first few verses to show you something. Stephen, it's a whole new tile thing, but go to verse 1, please. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. I've been on that fishing trip. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. So occupied with work, they can't even recognize Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. They have witnessed the crucifixion and the burial of Jesus, but very quickly they seem to forget all of the promises that Jesus made, and as a result, they give in to the fear of scarcity, and they go back to their old way of life, and they start fishing again. But what happens? They return to their old way of fishing. What happens? They get nothing. They don't catch a single fish. They give into scarcity, and what did they get? More scarcity. That's a spiritual principle. When you give into scarcity, you will get more scarcity every single time. But when Jesus comes to the rescue, they catch so many fish they can't even haul it in. The answer to scarcity is always Jesus. Period. Hard stop. The answer to scarcity is always Jesus, which leads us back to the question, do you love me and trust me more than the pursuit of material gain? Now, the third one that we suggested was persecution and difficulty. It was, after all, persecution that caused Peter to disown Jesus three times. And just like Peter, we often allow persecution or difficulty to interfere with our love of Jesus. Let's be honest. One of the reasons we don't share our faith is fear. Right? Fear of rejection, fear of persecution. Difficult times come into our life, and we'll often pull away from Jesus and seek to solve the problems on our own. Right? It's just human nature. There's something going on in this whole section here that I want to try to point out to you. I hope I can do this. It might be a challenge. And through this whole passage, Jesus is asking, do you love me? And Peter is saying, yes, I do. Do you love me? Yes, I do. But Jesus and Peter are not using the same words. The first time Jesus asked Peter if he loves him, Jesus uses the Greek word agape, which if you look that up in a Greek lexicon, it means brotherly love. It became known as the word for Christian love. But when Peter responds, it is with the Greek word phileo, which means I really like you. The same thing happens the second time that Jesus asked the question, but the third time Jesus asked the question, Jesus uses the word phileo. So he sort of switches and comes down to Peter's level, if you will. So Jesus is saying, hey, do you love me? And Peter says, yeah, I like you. You're really cool. And Jesus says, do you love me? And Peter says, yeah, I like you. You're really cool. So finally, Jesus is like, hey, do you think I'm cool? Do you like me? And Peter's like, yeah, I'm all right with that. Do you understand why Peter was having the difficulty that he was understanding Jesus? He was not at the same level as Jesus. Jesus is saying, hey, do you love me? And Peter's like, yeah, you're pretty cool. I like you. It's not the same. There's a disconnect here. It's clear that the third time Peter is hurt by the question because he doesn't understand or see yet the powerful thing that Jesus is doing through this restoration process. Jesus restores Peter three times because Peter disowned him three times, right? Three times Jesus commissions Peter to go and pastor the people. He says each time, do you love me? Peter says, yeah, I like you. And then Peter says, well, go and feed my sheep, right? Isn't it interesting that the key to the restoration process is to go pastor the people? Yeah. I cannot get my mind around that, but the key to his restoration is to go pastor the people. But you have to understand through this whole dialogue, Jesus said, hey, do you love me? And Peter's like, yeah, you're pretty cool. So now I want to get next to Peter's question here, verses 18 and 19. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. In these two verses, Jesus tells Peter the kind of persecution and death he will suffer. Peter thinks he's already suffered some persecution, but there's a lot more persecution coming. He is also further bolstering the calling that he's putting on Peter's life. What he's saying is, Peter, your life and ministry will be hard, and then you will have a hard death. Follow me. Who wants to sign up? Because guess what? It's the same. Jesus is saying the same thing to you. Hey, follow me might be hard, and you might have a really hard death as a result of it. Who wants to sign up? But the key here is that Jesus says, you must follow me. The only path through this is to follow Jesus closely. Trusting other people won't get it done. Trusting old ways, fishing, occupation, money, won't get it done. And giving into the fear of scarcity and the reality around you, that won't get it done. We have to follow Jesus, and we have to follow him closely. We got to be on the same page. We got to be using agape, not phileo. Jesus is still speaking all of this to us. Life and even death might be hard, but follow me. He continues to call each one of us into this same kind of deep love relationship. First and foremost, no matter what else life may throw at you. Verse 20. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" Now we see Peter's the introduction to Peter's question here. Is there a little bit of that on the next slide? Did it all fit on that slide? Is 21, verse 21 there? When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" I want to focus on that question. Lord, what about him? So first we have Jesus' questions. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And now Peter says, "Hey, well, what about him?" He said, "My life's going to be hard, but what about him?" It's a question of comparison. Jesus' question was one of love, rooted in grace and pushing toward restoration. Peter's question is one of comparison, rooted in fear, scarcity, and lack of trust. Let me say all that again. Jesus' question was one of love, rooted in grace and mercy and pushing toward restoration. Peter's question is one of comparison, rooted in fear, scarcity, and lack of trust. Jesus has laid out the high cost of Peter's calling, but right away Peter wants to know, will anyone else have to pay the same high price? Will other disciples' life be easier or harder? Will he have the same fate? Don't we all do that? We ask those comparative questions. What about this person? Why is their life so easy? Why did their church grow so big? Why do they have so much blessing? Why do they bear so much fruit? Why are things so well for them? Or conversely, why are they struggling so much? We love to compare, don't we? But these comparisons are never helpful and never godly. And when we compare, these comparisons are never godly because then we don't end up living the life God has for us. We're partially living their life and we're partially living no life. Verse 22. Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Jesus had told Peter about the kind of death that he would face. And now here in answer to Peter's question, he says, "Well, maybe John won't die." It's a direct answer to the question. But what is Jesus really saying? What Jesus is saying is, if I want him to remain alive until I return, he's saying, I have the power to do that. I control life and death. Jesus is setting the stage for the statement, you must follow me. You are able to follow me because I hold these things in my hand. If I want him to not die, I can do that. He is saying, my will be done. Jesus is the one calling the shots, not us. Our life's calling is in his hands, not ours. And if you ponder that long enough, it gets scary. Our life's calling is in his hands, not ours. Jesus is saying, I will determine calling and what happens to whom. Follow me, because you can trust in that. You see, calling isn't something we dream up or act on alone. It's something that only God can do to us. When Jesus says, what is that to you? He's basically saying, it's not for you to know about this other guy. Jesus politely said, hey, it's none of your business. Jesus is also saying, don't compare. What I do with each person is unique. This statement really should be a great comfort to us. Jesus has a unique call and a purpose for each one of us. We don't have to be someone else. We don't have to compare. We don't have to try to live their life. We each have a unique calling and relationship with Jesus, and he will do unique things through each one of us. And if we see God doing something else in someone else's life, we can be like, hey, God, way to go. Ooh, bless them. Bless what you're doing. But I don't have to be jealous or compare what God is doing with somebody else. I get to do what God has called me to do. And then, of course, Jesus ends with, you must follow me. Don't worry about what I'm going to do with this other guy. You just follow me. And Jesus said all of that stuff to set the stage to give Peter the faith as to how he can follow him. Jesus is getting Peter to focus not on what might be happening with others, but on his own relationship with Jesus. This is a good word to all of us. We must each follow Jesus for ourselves. We should not and cannot compare ourselves with others. Our life, our calling might be hard, and it might be harder than those around us, but Jesus is the only path forward for us in this life, right? You know, I was really struck by this past week as John and Carlos spent the whole week staying in our home with us, which was amazing. They're incredible people. Their calling is hard. They have been called to a really hard thing. They have been through so many hardships and persecutions and just great difficulties. And yet they just have such resilient, unwavering faith. It's just a blessing to be around them. At one point in time, I said something like, "You guys are crazy." And I went, "Wait a minute, we're following you." That makes us crazy too. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have other people around us counseling us and encouraging us, but we should not compare ourselves to others and try to live their calling or their life. We must avoid the unhealthy comparisons. We must avoid the unhealthy trust in work, money, and relationships. So we each need to ask Jesus, are there people or relationships that I love more than you? Do I love my work and my pursuit of money and material things more than you? Do I give in to fear of rejection more than I love you? Do I love feeling accepted more than I love you? I'll call the worship team back up, and then we'll do a little ministry time afterwards.